Hello and welcome back to Dad's Cave Cast. I am your host, David Rosales. This week, we will talk about, or I will talk about, mechanic work. Working on my vehicles. Wrenching, taking off knuckles. Anybody that's wrenched on something that's kind of pissed them off or was a little rusty knows the pain of losing a knuckle or two to the the wrench slipping or the, you know, the ratchet or something. Anyways, wrenching on cars, working on cars. Where do I start? I guess from the beginning, right? So when I first started working on vehicles, I started working on them, I want to say when I was fucking 16, you know, starting off, maybe a little younger than that. 15 or so, working on helping my mom's boyfriend at the time work on the cars and everything. But ever since I've had my BMW, the 320i, and if you want to go down the list of what the vehicles that I've had, I'm pretty sure I missed a couple on that. One of the episodes that I had was the vehicles that I've owned. I started working on my car, my cars, since the BMW, so the 320i, I think it's a 79. But then when I really got into it was when I owned my 1969 Volkswagen Beetle. Now that car, I was always fucking wrenching on that fucking thing. And the way it started is, you know, I got the car home. I mentioned, you know, I gave it a bath. Those 5 billion spiders that came out from under it. And then I got to work, you know what I mean? I learned how to do a tune up on it. Now back then I was just changing parts cause you know, fucking learning on it. And, that vehicle had a spindle, not a wheel hub assembly. So I had spindles and a lot of European, like Mercedes and shit, they still fucking rock the spindle. Everybody else is pretty much going to the wheel hub. But, yeah, that Volkswagen had a spindle. I would fuck with those. And the main reason, to tell you the truth, was one was I like wrenching. I like wrenching on cars. You know what I mean? I enjoy cars. I have a fascination with vehicles. But the other reason is I didn't have the money to take it to a fucking mechanic. You know what I mean? And like I've told people before, it's like the analogy of, I'm going to go off on a little, not tangent, but a little side story here. My dad saw me cooking one day and I was making chicken Alfredo and he just kept watching me. Well, he didn't raise me, you know, so I ended up at his place when I was, 28. And I was hungry one day and I wanted some chicken Alfredo, so I was cooking it up and everything. And he just kept watching me. He was like, oh, you know how to cook that stuff? And I was like, well, yeah, you know. And he was kind of surprised. And I told him, I'm like, look, if you get hungry enough, you're going to figure out how to cook. You know what I mean? You're not going to die of starvation if there's the food's there, but it's not cooked. You're going to figure out how to cook the shit. You know what I mean? One way or another. If you're going to die of starvation and there's like raw food in front of you, that's on you. You know what I mean? At that point, like you didn't even fucking try. But anyways, going back to the cars. Us not having a lot of money, we had enough. You know what I mean? I'm not saying like we may do what we had. It's not like I had like thousands in the bank for me to be taking my vehicles to a mechanic, which stemmed the other... the way I think about a lot of things is if I'm going to pay somebody to do something and it's kind of technical, I see myself as that's just another person that's doing it. You know what I mean? There's nothing is he doesn't have superpowers. You know what I'm saying? It's not like, he's doing something that's unattainable. Now, if it's like sports or something where you train, Well, not even train, because mechanics do fucking train and have a skill set of knowledge. The thing is, it's not unattainable. You know what I mean? It's not so far out there beyond the grasp that I don't understand how to fix something, that I see it as it's just another person that put in the time or is willing to learn how to do it, and he's doing it. He's getting paid to do it. I could also do it, and I could also get paid to do it. But at this point, I say I'm paying myself to do it. You know what I mean? I'm saving that money. So not having a bunch of money, then, you know, and I wanted my cars fixed or running on the road or you know, I wanted them lowered or I wanted them looking or running a certain way. Then I had to figure out how to do it myself. So that was another point where it helped me push and helped me learn how to do certain things. You know what I mean? For myself and, you know, for family or whatever. So like oil changes, fucking simple. You know what I mean? But people get a little weird about, oh, I don't want to fuck up my car. Well, you know, it's just like, you know, you change the oil. Just make sure you put it all back the way it came, you know, or your brakes. It's a simple fucking task, but people just get a little weirded out that they're going to fuck something up. And granted, it is a safety feature. You know what I mean? Or, you know, it's not even a feature. It's a mandatory thing. You got to be able to stop. But even the brakes, they don't want to fix it. They don't want to get dirty, I guess. They don't have the tools. You know, whatever excuse you want to put in there, you know, they'll come up with it. But, yeah, it was stuff like that that's like, well, I could fucking do that shit. You know what I mean? Then you got to do appointments and you got to, it's just a fucking mess. But anywho, back when I was like 15, 16, started wrenching on my Volkswagen Beetle. And, yeah, from there, I'd be the guy out there at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday or Friday, you know, out in the white apartments, wrenching on shit when people were coming home all drunk and shit, and people would just stop by and be like, yep, you know, that's where they left me and that's where they found me, you know, fucking wrenching on my bug, working on the interior. I was starting to get into body work. And then there was this one girl's dad, Andrea's dad, I think it was. Yeah, anyways. He also knew how to work on cars. Kind of like what I was doing, you know what I mean? Just self vehicle maintenance. I don't think he was really charging people, but I think he did like odd jobs. And every time he would see me out there, he had a minute. We'd chop it up. We'd play ball, basketball and stuff. We had a little court there, half court. And I'd be working on stuff and he would stop and kind of drop some knowledge like, hey, you putting in some bearings? Like, this is how you push the fucking grease in there. You know, you palm the grease and you work it in. He taught me that stuff, you know. My mom's boyfriend, the guy that raised us, Alfredo, he was a body guy. He worked at a body shop. It wasn't the greatest, that I don't think it was the most straight and narrow fucking place, but it was a mechanic shop. It was a body. He was a good body guy, but he was one of those body guys where he would take the dent out with this is a technique where you drill holes in the actual panel, you put some screws in there and you pull the screws, which pull the impact point, the hit, the dent. That'll pull that out. Then he would kind of try to get it as smooth as he could, then bondo that motherfucker over. Fix the bondo, shape it, and then he would paint it over. It looked all right, but he was using bondo. I don't know. I don't think he spent too much time trying to get that sheet metal to be as smooth as it was, so you have minimal bondo on there. And like I said, I wasn't a body man, and I was starting to fucking just dabble on it, you know what I mean, with my car and stuff, but I saw a lot of bondo. That's all I'm saying. Now, he didn't cake it on like some of those horror fucking stories where you just see fucking 2 inches of bondo on there. You know what I mean? He was decent at what he did. But, yeah, I would work on my own vehicles. And then, so with the Volkswagen, I had that motherfucker all over the place. You know what I mean? From swapping out parts with the engine, you know, just general maintenance stuff outside of the engine. I never cracked an engine apart. Never cracked a transmission apart. But you know, as far as suspension goes, fucked with all that, the electronic stuff, fucked with all that, putting in stereos, taking out stereos, putting in, you know, subwoofers and amps and all that shit. Like we all did that shit in the 2000s. And, So I started working on vehicles with that. So I learned some stuff there. You know, I had basic fucking tools. And after that, then I ended up getting my Ford Ranger Splash with the 4.0. Now, like I said before, I love that little fucking truck. And I took that out to Arizona. Well, fuck, I took that to, like, Nevada, Arizona. I took that motherfucker everywhere. And one day I was in Arizona, and I was going to come back. I was out there by Phoenix. And on my way back, I stopped, pumped gas, and I was going to get on the road, and I was going to go straight home. And what happened is I turned on the car, and it started to sputter, and it shut off on me. So I turned it on again. It would stay on when I would hit the gas. But whenever I let go of the gas, it would just kind of like die out and fucking die. So I drove the fucking thing like that. You know, I don't think I called it a tow truck, but I drove the fucker to a Midas. Okay. Drove it to Midas, dropped it off. I had to be back in California. So I took a flight and then I flew back like a week later. Now, these motherfuckers, this Midas place, that's why I hate these little fucking Jiffy Lube fucking Midas and all these, what are the fucking, I don't even know what the fuck you call them, right? They're like, it's a ripoff fucking place. Don't take your car there for oil change, nothing. You know what I mean? I wouldn't take them for shit. Well, anyways, I was out there in the middle of nowhere. Well, not nowhere, but, you know, Arizona. And, They said, okay, we got it ready. I showed up. I go to start it. It's not running right, but it's not dying on me, right? So I think what they did is they just fucking tweaked the timing on it, on the fucking distributor. So it was, it almost felt like there was always like a little bit of gas getting pumped in there. It was always revving a little high. That's why I wouldn't die. But that's what these motherfuckers did, right? I would have figured they would have done like a fucking 100-point inspection on the ignition and shit, which they didn't. So I was like, okay, whatever, you know, it's running, I'm gonna take it home, I'll figure it out later. And then they told me how much they were gonna charge me. It was like fucking $900. And I go, hey man, I don't got that kind of fucking money, and I don't know what the fuck you guys fixed. And he was like, oh well, we got, he didn't even explain it, you know what I'm saying? I don't even think the paperwork said what it was. Now, When I told him that, he's like, well, I'll give you a discount. Let's just say you're a student and boo, you said a bunch of shit. He gave me like a $300 fucking discount. I gave him like $600, you know, settled the tab, got my truck, fucking went. I went straight to fucking, it wasn't an O'Reilly's. It was like an AutoZone or some shit, right? Went to AutoZone and I go, I'm going to check my fucking spark plugs. You know, and I go into the fucking, the AutoZone. I get, a ratchet and fucking socket, and I walk out to the fucking truck, pop the hood, and I start checking my spark plugs. Lo and behold, there's a fucking cracked fucking spark plug. That's what it was. I cracked the fucking spark plug, and these motherfuckers didn't even catch it. You know what I mean? That was the whole problem. A $20-something fucking fix. Now, what I should have fucking done is gone back to that fucking deal, the Midas. And back then, I would have fucking pulled the guy over the fucking counter. But I didn't. I went back into fucking AutoZone. I bought another spark plug. Then when I was going to get home, I was going to swap all of them. But I don't know if I bought one or a couple. Anywho, I bought a spark plug, fucking put it in, put the fucking spark plug wire back on, turned the car on, ran like a fucking dream. Those motherfuckers, dude. So there was that point. Then I drove the truck straight home. You know what I mean? Had no problems with it ever since then. But that goes to show you, like, if, and I knew enough for me to check my spark plugs after the fact. I didn't check it the first time because I was in a hurry to get back to California. I was stressed. I wasn't fucking thinking right. I was just kind of like stressed, you know what I mean? Which sends credence to like just relax, assess the situation, and then make a plan as how to attack the situation. And so they kind of took me for some money there, you know what I mean? And I chalked it up as lesson learned, you know. If they see somebody that's just kind of struggling, they'll get one over on you. So another time was, you know, again, Phoenix. And I started leaking fucking coolant. So right there and there, I just had a, I think I had a toolbox at that time. Not a crazy one. It was one of those little fucking, a tool kit. I had to take off that whole front end. Not the front end, but like the radiator fan. I think I had to pull out the radiator. Pretty much everything was in the front of that engine. I had to pop that off. Went and got a fuel pump. Put that fucker on. Half the engine was out. The front part. And then put the pulleys back on. You know, got it back to running. Drove that bitch home. And it's just being able to put the motherfucker back the way it was. That's half the battle. You know what I mean? The other half is probably a bolt that's going to fuck with you. It's not going to fucking want to give up. You know what I mean? And at that point, people get like what they call a persuader, which is probably a pipe over a wrench. You're going to put some ass on it and get some torque on that bitch and it'll fucking pop. Either you'll break the bolt or, you know, it'll give up. Or, you know, some PB blaster, WD-40. Let that fucker soak. Half of the time, it doesn't really soak in that far. But, you know, it is what it is. You got to try it. So another thing is... I wrenched on all my cars. Try to fix it. Just in case there was an issue, I was able to fix it myself. Get myself out of a situation. Save myself some money. You know, have something to do. It was more of a challenge for me to figure out this stuff. And I'm not saying by any means that I'm a fucking mechanic. You know what I mean? There's still shit out there that I won't even touch. And there's stuff where I'm just like, you know, it's beyond my tools and my capabilities at this point. So, like, I'll end up taking it to the mechanic. You know what I mean? I could probably put a tire on and just take it to the mechanic or the dealership and have them balance it. You know what I mean? They're still going to charge you the mountain balancing fee. So at that point, might as well just take them the whole tire, have them do the whole fucking shebang. And then, you know, you don't get your hands dirty. So stuff like that, I understand, you know, just taking it somewhere. And if you're listening out there, if you ever get new tires, I know people say don't take your car to the dealership, it's more expensive, but dealerships know this, right? That's the stigma, and like tire people know this. So like a Tire World or fucking Tire Tracks or whatever you have in your town, neighborhood, fucking city, village, wherever you're at, those side businesses, they'll charge you like $100 to do all four tires, right? Mountain balance and road testing and all this other shit they might throw at you. And they'll charge you $100. But if you go and you talk to a dealership, they'll do it for $50, all four. You know, mountain balance. And a lot of them have that road test where they put the tire on this little test and it'll test it turning left and right to see, you know, if it wobbles while you do it. So it makes the tire balancing better, right? So, and another thing, oil changes. Some of those Jiffy Lube places, they'll charge you fucking $150. I recently had a, well, not recently, but I think a year ago, my sister called or texted me and she's like, yeah, they're going to charge me this is back in Salinas. It was $150, $160 for a fucking oil change. So I was like, well, what the fuck kind of oil are you getting? She's like, just the synthetic. They were telling her, and it was like at one of those, like, Salinas has a bunch of Midases and shit, right? So it was like at a Lube Cube or something out in Salinas. And she goes, they're saying it's a special fucking oil, special for her Chevy Cruze or whatever the fuck she's driving. And I was like, there's full synthetic. That's about it. Like, unless they have some special fucking miracle shit in there, then you're paying way too much. Now, granted, this is California prices, so I don't know. You know what I mean? And so I ended up fucking calling them up. I called the dealer, that Jiffy Lube, fucking Lube Cube, Midas place. And I go, hey, check this out. I have, this is word for word. And I'll do this for most of the females in my life that they'll call me up and tell me something like some crazy shit and the price seems a little funky. I'm like, let me give them a call. I'll talk to them. I kind of know how, like, what the deal is. You know what I mean? So I'll talk to them like I'm not a fucking somebody that doesn't know nothing about nothing. And I called them up and I go, hey, check this out. You know, how much are you guys charging for an oil change? I told them the make and model of the vehicle. Told them how long it's been overdue. And I let them know. I'm like, hey, man, I know how to do it. I'm just a little busy. So I'm going to send my sister or my wife or whoever the fuck, right? I'm going to send her down there. And then they go, oh, yeah. So the fucking guy ended up telling me it was like $90. So they were going to fucking take my sister for like another $70, you know what I mean? Plus taxes. Just because she's a female and she was just like showing up with the fucking thing. And we don't even know, I don't even know if they fucking changed the oil. You know what I mean? And you got to watch out for those fucking things. There's a lot of fucking sneaky motherfuckers. Half of the, and then 90% of the time, it's nothing special. You know what I mean? So like a 5-quart, one of those big fucking buckets of oil, is probably, out here is like $24 for a synthetic, right? And conventional, you're talking about $26 to $30 for conventional. I mean, 20 to 30. And then for full synthetic, you're talking, I don't know, fuck, 25 to 35. It's not that much more. And then you got the blends, you know what I mean? But you go full synthetic and you just keep putting full synthetic. And then nowadays with the full synthetic, it's like 7,000 miles, you know what I mean? And so you just take it in at 5, and people are still stuck with that whole 3,000 mile thing, but you got full synthetic in there and you just, you know, fucking drive it till 5,000. The dealership or whoever is going to put 3 or 5 just to be on the safe side, but that shit will fucking last a while. Anyways, going back to the whole, the oil change stuff, you know what I mean? And even with the brakes, you know, the oil change, take it to your fucking local dealer. They got less of a chance of fucking ripping you off. They'll probably charge you like $50. I could do it on my vehicles for about 30. You know what I mean? So they're getting $20. They're not getting rich off of that shit. They're not getting rich off fucking mountain balance on your tires. That's like $50 out here too for all 4. But like I said, you take it to some of these places and it's like $100, $150. And then next thing you know, you're like, you think you're getting a good fucking deal. Or even putting on brakes. Brakes is not a big fucking deal. So sometimes the dealer's a little bit cheaper. Man, the dealer might fuck you on the brakes. You know what I mean? Get yourself a guy that knows how to do brakes. He'll charge you, you know, a case of beer or whatever. It don't take much to fucking change brake pads. Brakes and rotors. The rotors, if you get a little wobble when you hit them brakes, let's say you're doing 50, 55, and you kind of tap on the brake and the front kind of goes wiggle, wiggle, you know what I mean? That's your rotor. If you got some shake and then you hit your brake and it kind of It doesn't shake no more. It evens out nice and smooth. It's not your rotor. That's your fucking tires. It's your balancing. Or inner tie rods or shit like that. You know what I mean? Inner outer tie rods. Ball joints. So shit like that. And then this is all stuff that I've figured out. Fuck, I'm older now. So figured out through trial and error and it happening to my own fucking vehicles. You know what I mean? So yeah. So then I wrenched on cars. Shit. All the way till I bought a brand new car, which was 07 Pontiac G6 with a V6 engine. And that's the vehicle I drove out here in. And I never had a problem with that car, right? But I would change my oil. I would change, the brake pads, brake rotors, if I needed them. Just general maintenance on it. And then there was one thing that my old man from out here taught me. Or he just said it, right? And it was like, it kind of cut deep. And like it made a lot of sense, and I was just like, oh shit, you know. Yeah, he had a point. And I don't know if like he attacked the ego and then the ego kind of like came up a little bit. But so when I first showed up out here, he's got a garage. So I was working, I don't even think it was the brand new car. I think I had like a Cadillac, or I don't know, I've had a lot of fucking hoopties. Might have been the Honda Prelude. I had a Honda Prelude, by the way. Fun little car. Got pulled over in it. Got arrested in it. Bunch of dumb shit in it. But anywho, it was one of those fucking hoopty cars, right? So I would take it to his house. Since he had a garage, he has tools. He could wrench on vehicles too. And what do you call it? I was working on the vehicle. And I think it was like brakes or inner tie rod or some shit, you know. I was taking some suspension parts off, and I worked on one side, got it done, no problem. Then I went to the other side and I was working on that side, and for all I could try, I couldn't fucking pop this bolt off, you know. I let it soak with some penetrant, warmed it up a little bit. Not a lot, but just a little bit. I know if I warmed the motherfucker up quite a bit, it would pop. But I think it was in a sensitive area. There might have been some wires around it, so I couldn't really heat too much. So I got frustrated, you know. I got frustrated to the point where I was like, fuck it. I don't want to do this shit no more. I'm going to go do something else. I'm just tired of it. And he walked in. He happened to walk in. And I was like, you know, I'm just going to put it back together. I drive it around like this and I'll try it again later, you know. And then he looked at me and he's like, he goes, all that pride you have and all the muscles that you got on and all that shit. And that little bolt right there is what's going to break you. I was like, what the fuck? So it was one of those things where after he said that, I was just like, it was one of those almost like an aha moment. And I've never forget that fucking comment he said to me. And it wasn't like he was trying to be a dick about it. It was more like, you know, it was almost like I'm giving up so soon, so early. And, you know, I faced a little fucking problem and then I gave up on the big fucking picture. You know what I mean? So it put a lot of stuff in perspective for me. It was just like, you might be doing something or... And I apply it to a lot of things. So let's say I have a goal in mind. I want to do something, right? I want to buy a house. I want to fucking buy a car. Not even just purchases, but like I want to lose weight. You know, I want to quit smoking. I want to, you know, some shit like that. You want to do something, but one little fucking obstacle will break you. And then you'll just give up. So I apply that, just that little fucking statement. So if you take anything away from this podcast today, is for all your pride, and we all got it, all your pride, and, you know, you thinking you're tough or strong or smart or, you know, invincible for some people, and then one little thing will deter you or make you stop from reaching a goal. That's what that little bolt represented to me and what he said. So he might have not meant it like that, but I took it like that. And it was just like, fuck, he's got a point. You know what I mean? Like, I could be, you know, all Mr. Tough Guy and fucking, I'll walk through fucking neighborhoods that I shouldn't be in. But one little fucking bolt will break me from completing my fucking task. Now, I might have took it and went real fucking deep with it, and he might have not meant like that, but, you know, it's helped me out. Every time I fucking work on a car and I find myself in a predicament that I can't really, you know, fix right away, like, I don't give up. I'll walk away for a second, and I'll reassess the situation, and I'll attack it from a different angle or whatever, but I'll figure out a way. You know what I mean? I won't get deterred as easy by one little problem or one hiccup or one something that just became tough, you know? So working on cars gave me that lesson in life. You know what I mean? And you know, he gave it to me. So, and like I said, I don't know if he meant it that way, but I took it that way. And I think it's a positive thing. So he's taught me a lot of stuff about how to work on cars, how to wrench on cars. And he'll take a motor apart, an engine apart, and he'll fuck with the internals, which is cool too. You know what I mean? Eventually I want to build my own engine, not my own like design, but, you know, just straight up build an engine or even soup one up, you know? But so he taught me that stuff. And you know, Alfredo fucking, he taught me more body work stuff, and he would help me out. He did his own thing too, you know, but he was more of the body guy. He didn't never really like help me out as far as like hands and shit, like, you know, putting hands on the car and like being like, this is how you do it. He was more like whatever I needed, and if I had a question, he'd kind of help me out. But my old man, he'll be down there underneath with me, you know, showing me how to do the shit. So, mechanic work and working on vehicles. I mean, and doing that stuff, wrenching on vehicles, kind of has helped me not be afraid to do physical labor around all the other shit I need to do. You know what I mean? From building a structure to doing some plumbing, you know what I mean, to some electrical work, all that stuff. Like, I'll figure it out. So mechanic work with vehicles has given me the confidence to, you know, tackle other projects that, one, I might feel like I'm a little bit, you know, out of my comfort zone, but like, there's another quote. I might throw in quotes here and there that, you know, some that kind of either have stuck with me or that once I heard them, I was like, oh, that's a good one. It was when I felt uncomfortable. You know, a lot of people feel uncomfortable and they don't want to do it. So I'll throw two of them. One of them is pretty well known. And that one is, if you don't jump, you'll never learn how to fly. Meaning you're on a ledge, and for you to be able to fly, you're going to have to jump. And that goes with the whole being uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And the second one is, learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Do you know what I'm saying? So put yourself in positions where you're not comfortable, but if you learn to be, I'm going to say comfortable again, but you know, it's like, let's say a military guy, right? So if you put him in stressful situations, but you put him in that stressful situations plenty of times, he's no longer stressed out. He understands it's a stressful environment or situation, But once he's comfortable in there and he understands that that's what's going on, he doesn't freak out with the discomfort, you know what I'm saying, or the stressful situation. So learn to be comfortable while uncomfortable, you know what I mean? Or there's a couple quotes like that, and it's like, stand in your discomfort with comfort, or, you know, that's one of them. It's kind of the same thing. And then get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's the other one. But that one, I think I heard from Dan Pena, and everybody says, I think he's like a fake billionaire now. I don't know, one of the two. But hey, if he's got money, fuck, he's got more than me. So, but anywho, yeah, those are the two quotes that I have. And then the one quote from my old man was, with all your strength and power, and that little bolt will break you. That's another one. Maybe I should get that one tattooed on myself somewhere. But yeah, no, you know, working on your own vehicle is kind of like cooking your own meals. You know, you don't have to depend on nobody. Work on your own vehicle. It doesn't even have to be everything like super in depth. You know what I mean? As long as you know how to fucking change brake pads, change oil, do a tune up on your vehicle. And that's like changing underwear. You know what I mean? Changing the belt on your car, you know, it's just a bolt. You fucking put the tension down, take the belt off, put the belt back how it went, you know, look at how it came off, and then put it back how it was. And that's it. You're done. It's nothing out the scope of you being able to do it. You know, I have faith in everybody that's listening to this, that they could, if I was to show them how to do it, they would learn how to change their own oil, change the brake pads, do a tune-up on their vehicle, take fucking spark plugs out and put them in, you know, just general maintenance shit, you know. That's what people make money off of, with people that, and if you got the money just for somebody else to do it, and you don't like getting dirty, all power to you. But if you're kind of struggling out there and, you know, you're having problems getting to work, or, you know, you're just struggling, just, you know, stop playing the fucking video games and just learn how to do it. You know what I mean? Because eventually, if you look at it this way, if they're going to charge you $150 for you to take it somewhere, and you're going to sit in on a couch just at the dealership or wherever and wait for your car to be done in an hour or two, you could have spent $30, $40 max, right? That's good oil, good filter. Fuck, with that money, you could probably get air filter in there. And you jack your car up a little bit, take that plug off, let it drain out. While it's draining out, you take that filter off the other side, wherever it's at, the back or the side, and then you let that drain out, clean it off, put that fucking oil filter back on, the new one, and then make sure it's the right, you know, size and, you know, type for your car. And then once it's all drained out, put that plug back on, and then read your manual. It'll tell you how much fucking oil you got to put back in. There's a cap on the top of your engine. Open that bitch up, fill it up, you know, change your, and then like the fucking, the air filter, you know what I mean? The cabin air filter. You got cabin air filter, you got engine air filter that helps with the breathing of your vehicle. And, you know, change those out in the same time. You're done in an hour, you know, and just pretend you paid yourself that fucking $100, that extra $100. Go fucking get yourself a good dinner, you know what I mean? Or put that in your piggy bank and just be like, I worked today for $100. So just look at it that way. And then once you're done with that, turn your car on, go for a drive, go back, park it on an even surface, pull the fucking dipstick out, check your oil level. If it's good, you're done. That's it. That's all it fucking takes. That's your oil change with the fucking filter off, or the brand new air filter. And then your brakes is kind of the same thing. You know what I mean? Don't take it to fucking somebody after you hear this grinding fucking metal on metal fucking deal, because, you know, either you're too lazy or you're too scared to take it to a fucking dealership and pay, you know, the buck, I don't know, $100. But to change brake pads is like $20. You know what I mean? So, like I said, I worked on my vehicles. I have my reasons for it. It's helped me out throughout the years. It's kind of a stress reliever too. You know what I mean? Going out there and just wrenching on shit. Yes, I've taken off knuckles and fucking fingers. Well, not taken off fingers, but I've cut the fuck out of my hands and shit. But that's what people, you know, put gloves on. But, yeah, so that's me. And that's not all of my working on the vehicle shit. I got a couple stories where I might have tightened up a nut on my spindle a little too much and it seized up. Or fuck, there was one time on the Volkswagen, the fucking tire came off. That was a good one. So, so it's like I've had my fucking, it hasn't been perfect, but I've had my growing lumps, my growing pains with the whole mechanic stuff. So, but anyways, yeah, it's a little, this one's kind of a quickie too. I'll release this one before next week. Fuck, I might release it right now. And today is the 14th, I believe. 11/14/2021. Fuck, the year's almost over. Anyways, time to start buying presents, right? So, anywho, thank you everybody for listening, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode. Oh, and like I said, hit me up on the IG, dad_dadscavecast, or dads_cavecast at IG, Instagram. So yeah, I'll catch you guys later, and I hope everybody's safe. Later.